Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast. Again, welcome to 24/7 Radio Podcast on this beautiful Tuesday, April the 8th, 2025. And we have with us today our most notable guest, double board certified nutritionist, Dr. Jeff Solander, with his many years of experience and knowledge. And so, Dr. Jeff, I just want to welcome you again to the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Brother Eric. It's a pleasure to be here again.
All righty. What do you have for us today, my brother?
Well, there's always so many things to pick from, but I thought we might talk about sleep and sleep in conjunction with repairing our bodies.
Sounds intriguing and most necessary.
Because we all depend upon it, and one of the most common problems that people take over-the-counter pills or prescription pills for our sleep problems.
Is that
So
right?
we should talk a lot about the basics, the foundation, what people can do on their own to improve their sleep patterns, because that's where we pretty much do our repair.
Perfect sense. You know, we should think about whenever we get up in the morning, the body just went into repair, and we wouldn't last long if we didn't sleep. So,
Well, that is true, mentally or physically. You know, people get kind of squirrely if they don't have enough sleep.
you know, sleep deprivation is one of the torturers of all the inquisitors, whatever intelligence community they might be with. So it's a very effective means of torture and to get out of the victim what they want. So indeed, sleep is something that we really, really need.
That's true. And one of the things that we can talk about different levels of interventions people can consider as we talk about sleep and repair, but there's some basic things that are kind of aha obvious, and it gets a little bit more involved with circadian patterns, but nothing here is difficult. It's just a matter of being aware of it and beginning to apply it on a regular basis. And most of it's not even doesn't even cost anything.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. I try to be in bed between 9:30 and 10 every night because at 10 o'clock I turn off. And so it's 71 here now. The big baby's got to go to 10 o'clock. There's no party animal left over anymore.
Yeah, but you know, that's actually the perfect time. I mean, one of the things I had in my notes here to share is the most restorative sleep that we can get in a day is the sleep prior to midnight.
Right.
If we say that people need 8 hours sleep, which is an average, but if we say that, it's a different quality of sleep if you're talking about 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. than if you're talking about 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Very different because of the circadian pattern, the light and dark cycles, and so forth. So if you're working with that pattern, you're going to have more restorative sleep. If you're not, you're going to have less repair.
That makes perfect sense. I remember years ago, my naturopath told me for every hour before 12 o'clock is like 2 hours after 12. Does that?
Yes, I've heard that too. Yes. So, and I think that's a good rule to go by because it's not the same thing to get, again, 8 hours from, let's say, 2 a.m. until, 10 a.m. It's not the same. And people know that. I mean, people have felt that, but we always try to make excuses for our choices.
That's true. And, you know, if we would just be sensitive to how we feel and listen to what our nervous system is telling us as far as pain or soothing or whatever it is, we'd be a whole lot better off. Problem with men, I find, mostly men, is they ignore what their body's trying to tell them and persist in what we want to do. Does that make sense?
I agree 100%. Yeah, men typically like to ignore their body's language speaking to them. Hey, yeah, I heard it years ago in a conference, men suffer from only two diseases: vertical disease, where they're walking around but they have headaches and palpitations and high blood pressure and liver problems, and then horizontal disease when they can't get out of bed.
It makes sense.
It's not a great model. But yeah, so the sleep before midnight and the sleep urge is, getting to a little bit of chemistry, but the sleep urge is partly due to the buildup of a compound called adenosine.
Adenosine.
Adenosine, yes. Adenosine. Adenosine has different versions of it. Most people, if they have biology, can recall biology from high school, remember ATP, which is adenosine triphosphate, which is the molecule that actually runs our cells and our energy. But as we run out of steam during the day, this molecule of adenosine builds up and builds up, and that tells us we need sleep.
See, how brilliant. How brilliant for the Lord to make us thus. Another wonderful, fearfully, how the Lord fearfully and wonderfully made us with all these triggers and cofactors and supplementary things one to another. It's fascinating. And I guess that's one reason I really like to talk to you. You bring out all this stuff when we have an interview.
Well, it's infinitely interesting. I'll give you that. And the thing that relates to adenosine that's interesting, and some people don't know this, is that caffeine, whether it's in green tea, black tea, coffee, whatever it might be in, chocolate, blocks the adenosine receptor.
Oh, so that's why you don't feel sleepy or have more energy.
That's right. That's right. Now, your adenosine levels are still elevated, but your cells can't sense it properly. So you think you're not tired.
And then when that wears off, then you're really tired.
You're really tired because not all that buildup of adenosine can be sensed by the receptors, and you realize you are exhausted. So caffeine just kind of blurs the messaging of the adenosine molecule, doesn't really fix anything. And of course, I like to say it's not a gift, it's a loan.
I like that. It's not a gift, it's a loan.
So if you need caffeine to complete a 14-hour drive or something like that, that's a choice we can make. There are situations where that might be appropriate. Taking care of a loved one under extraordinary conditions might be another one. But we have to realize that, in like in physics, what goes up must come down.
That's right.
And the same in biology.
Very true, and holding to principles. So it seems like everything is rules and principles, and if we obey those rules and principles that guide the functioning of our bodies, we'll do fine. But if we disobey them and try to substitute something or make something not work in exchange for something else, then we have a problem.
Oh, 100%. And the statement that I came up with years ago in just observing that very thing was there's great freedom in following these rules. There's terrible bondage to chronic illness if we try to break the rules.
Isn't that the truth?
Isn't that
And
interesting?
it's the same spiritual truth too. If we break spiritual rules, if we break biblical rules, we have a price to pay. And if we break the rules of our temporal body, there's a price to pay too.
Right. We just have to know what they are because, many of these things have been totally obscured by pop culture and what I call TV medicine, medical guidelines, which are usually always backwards from what you need to follow. But it's very hard for people to find this. Our great grandparents had this. Maybe they didn't know the underlying reasons, but they followed it.
They were getting up at a decent time in the morning, but going to bed about 9:30 at night at the latest.
Right.
I can remember when I used to spend 2 weeks with my grandparents Callahan in Sacramento. We were going to bed at 8:30 or 9, everybody, but we were getting up at 5:30.
Well,
So
I guess I never lived on a farm, but I imagine if you have to get up at 5 o'clock and go out and milk the cows, I suspect the cows' needs are not negotiable. They have to be attended to at the right time.
right. That's right.
And you can say I'm going to sleep in late today, but I don't think the cows are going to adjust their their biology to compensate.
That's right. Their need to be milked, right?
Yeah, we're very good at confusing and fooling ourselves.
There is a rhythm in everything, and we simply need to abide by it. And that's where we trust people like you that you have a specialty in helping us with those rhythms, that if we do that, we'll have long lives and die suddenly rather than shorter lives and wane and die later.
Exactly, exactly. Sometimes called squaring the curve. You're fine, 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 then you keel over one day and that's it.
Which is
No chronic 20 years of I don't know where I am and who I am and
right, and the bedpan and you name it,
right.
none of that stuff.
Exactly. So these are basic principles. They're very important to know. Now let's talk about a couple of other things. And let me preface it by starting with here the simplest, and then getting to a little more involved things with our modern world. But the simplest things that most people, if they have any farming, all ancestry will know, you need warm feet and a cool head to
Warm
sleep.
feet and a cool.
Warm feet and a cool head. Ever try to fall asleep when your feet are freezing cold?
Can't do it.
It's very difficult to do.
I feel like if my feet are cold, I'm cold. Everything's cold.
So you need warm feet. That could be socks. If you're living in a cold climate in the wintertime, you might need something on your feet to warm them up, but you need a cool head.
So
And
that's
that
what I was.
facilitates, because part of falling asleep is our body temperature has to drop by a degree.
Oh, part of falling asleep is our body temperature has to drop a degree. So that's why older generations were sleeping in a cool bedroom.
Yes, exactly.
So they weren't turning the heat up. I remember
Exactly.
my mother would not allow 1 degree above 60.
Ooh, okay. That's a cool bedroom.
And you will sleep there, and that's the way it's going to be. And it was good for us. We got used to it and used the covers, but it was a cool bedroom. And then
But
when
that's
we got
exactly what that did. You had covers on. Maybe it was a wool blanket or something natural like that, natural fabric, and your body was warm, your feet were warm, but your head was out and your head was cool.
It's like sleeping outside. Sleeping outside in a sleeping bag. Your body's
Exactly.
warm, but your head's kind of outside in the cool.
And anybody hearing this, if this sounds a little bit folksy, I mean, I would invite you to try it. You can do an experiment on yourself and, stick your feet in something cold or get your feet very cold and try to sleep. It's just hard.
Right.
Try it both ways. You can
And
prove it to yourself.
it's a habit. And when you break a habit, it's always hard. It's always inconvenient. It's just like, you're going to do away with Skype and you're going to use Zoom because that's what I've done here recently. And so, hey, you got to get rid of Skype and they got to download Zoom. And my son, if he didn't know how to do it, I would not know. And so you're just learning another thing that takes the place of another. And so it's just
Right.
their habits.
Yeah, we're comfortable in repetition.
Comfortable in repetition, you said it. So we
But
have to make sure our repetitions are healthy repetitions.
that's the key, right? Because we slide into unhealthy repetitions, now we're just undermining everything.
Right.
So that's why these practices, and for the people again listening, you don't have to do these all, by 9 o'clock tonight. You can make a list if you're listening to this with a pen and paper and just, okay, I can do that. I can do this. And next week I'll do this and I'll gradually adjust my bedtime and try to get more pre-midnight sleep. Just give it a couple weeks.
Amen. Takes a little time, but well, it's like flying. You're going to have jet lag. And then and after a few days, you get over it and you get in the groove of where you're at. So it's the same kind of thing here with diet or good things. We're going to have kind of a jet lag, or we're not eating sugar anymore or white bread anymore. It's going to be a jet lag, but ultimately we'll get over it and our taste buds will change and we'll be okay.
Yeah.
That
No,
makes
exactly. And that gets in, I mean, jet lag is a great example because this talks to our circadian rhythm and sleep and repair and being energetic in the day are very much tied to, like it or not, to our circadian pattern, which is tied to light and dark cycles. We can complain that we don't like it, it's inconvenient, we want to work the night shift for higher pay, but it does cost.
it sure does. It sure does. And I can remember the past. I would stay up all night reading a book or doing something, researching something, and when day comes, you're tired during the day, but you're even not getting that kind of rest you need during the day.
Right.
Because it's like you said, there's light, and we don't get the rest we need in light. We have to have it dark.
Right. Which actually goes back to the warm feet, cool head, and that is the bedroom should be absolutely 100% totally dark. If you had a light meter, which a lot of people, if they have a smartphone, you can download a lux, LUX, a lux light meter, but it should be less than 1 lux, which is basically less than a candle.
Download a light meter.
Yeah. But you
Download
don't want LED displays, alarm clock, night lights, street lights, outdoor security lights coming through your window, if that's the structure of your bedroom, you want to have it totally, absolutely dark. So if you woke up at night and you opened your eyes, you wouldn't see anything.
Oh. Okay, so I'm going to get rid of the nightlight in the bathroom. Hopefully, I won't stumble and fall and break my neck.
Well, it's not a bad idea to have a little maybe a plunger flashlight under your pillow or something like that. So if you have to get up for a reason, you don't trip over the end of the bed or whatever. But you don't want to have chronic light because there were studies done years ago with women that even, well, I forget the illumination level, but even the equivalence of like a 40-watt light bulb at the foot of the bed in the room was enough to disrupt their entire menstrual cycle.
Is that right? Well,
And again, remember, it's not just about the light coming into our eyes. They've learned since 2017 that we have photoreceptors, non-visual photoreceptors in our skin, all over our body. And even if our eyes were closed, or even if you were blind, your skin could, through these particular opsins, know what time of day it is roughly. There are receptors for blue light, and there are receptors for red light. So our skin is also picking up on these signals, not just through our eyes.
yeah, that makes perfect sense. The skin being light receptors. That's why we feel good if we're outside working in the day and,
And
garden
your
work.
body, through those receptors, can tell, because if you looked at a time lapse of a day, and there are videos online and there are still pictures that have been done, that the light we have outside in the morning hours is more reddish, more pinkish. We've talked about that a couple times, and that's the red infrared spectrum. And the same thing at sunset, we have all the warm orangey pink colors. The bluest part of the day is midday. And again, these opsins, there's neuropsin and melanopsin, they all have different names, are able to sense and pick up and be triggered by the light, by the frequency of the light.
So I would imagine these light shows that these young people go to with their rave parties must do an absolute hatchet job on their system.
Oh, I would think so. I mean, if you want to scramble and confuse your body, that's probably a great way to do it. I mean, just confuse the heck out of what signals your body's getting and then wonder why you feel terrible. But a lot of people do it unknowingly. They, they often people use their phone as their alarm clock, and they may reach over at night to get an emergency call or some call or even a wrong number. And they get a flash of blue light at 10:30 into their eyes, and they just totally blew their circadian pattern.
Well, I turn mine off and it's in another room, and I'm not going to be disturbed by it. We live in a time where people think they can just call you anytime of day, rather than get on their case about it, just turn the phone off. And they're going to see that, he doesn't answer his phone after 9 o'clock, and I don't.
Right.
So,
Yeah, I do the same thing. But it's all just part of kind of carving out and constructing a healthy set of patterns and habits that work with us and support our physiology so the body can do what it needs to do. Because again, this whole light thing is becoming more and more clearly and evidentially a problem. And that's why we talk about how do we function in the evening? If bedtime were, let's say, 10 p.m., how do we prepare ourselves with the light, the ambient light in our living space? Because if we have blue light, whether it's from a TV or whether it's from LED lighting in our ceiling or the lamps, that blue light says it's noon.
Blue light says it's noon. I see. So you don't want to go to sleep when it's noon.
Your body doesn't want to go to sleep. It would like to go in terms of hormonal balance, even if you're tired. But we don't want blue light signals outside of the time when blue light is normal. Blue light, again, in nature, is always balanced with the antidote, which is red light.
Blue
You
light.
never see blue light by itself in natural settings. It's only man make creates technology and by design uses blue light on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. A lot of LED alarm clocks I've noticed, of all the colors they could have picked for the LED lighting for the clock, they picked blue.
Sure, because the Jesuits know that would hurt you in their control of that particular technology. What technology? How can we use this technology to hurt these people, to further destroy white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization and bring the world back to our dark ages? Ah, that's what we'll do. We'll just flood everything with blue light. But I would
Well, that's an
imagine they don't
interesting
have that.
paradox. We're going to take us back to the Dark Ages by using blue light.
That's a paradox. Dark ages by using blue light.
But blue light's very insidious. I mean, if you again, there's seven primary colors, and blue was chosen in that particular wavelength because of its effects upon the body, the circadian rhythm, damaging melatonin levels, damaging mitochondrial function. And if you combine blue light with non-native EMF, which is the term now, and that would include our Wi-Fi units and routers and anything which emits artificial electromagnetic fields, combination's pretty bad.
I had a guy in here from Comcast a few days ago. He says, "I see you're hardwired to everything. You have no Wi-Fi here." I said, "No, I don't use any Wi-Fi." He said, "Well, your Wi-Fi will work if somebody comes up here and wants to use their Wi-Fi." I said, "Well, that's fine, but I don't use any of that."
Well, I'll tell you something I've learned over the years from talking to people, and that is if you have your router from the company supplies your internet, today they all have built in the standard 2.4G and the 5G wireless going on, and it's on whether you know it or not. 5G has been turned on.
So it's on whether you're using it or not.
That's correct. And it's on all the time. And I've heard this from people in the last year that if you had, let's say, Comcast or Spectrum or whatever the company might be, and you say, and you call them up and say, I want the 5G emitters for the wireless turned off because I don't use 5G. What I've heard consistently is they refuse to do it.
Really? Well, I'm
They
not
will
sure.
not turn it off, and you have to return the router and buy your own.
Really?
You can check, but there used to be software controls. A couple of years back, you could log in with a certain like IP address to get into your router, and there's a whole bunch of controls, and you could actually turn off the 5G portion because you're not using it at home. You're using the 2.4 to connect with your whatever you want, or if you're using wireless, right? But now they took that away. So I would suggest anybody who's got a Wi-Fi router in their home. And it's one that's supplied by your service provider. Call them up.
Call them up and say, disconnect the 5G and put me back on 2.4.
2.4 is what you're using in your home. I don't think anything's connected to 5G. I think that's for the future. But why is it on?
Yeah, so just turn it off.
And see what kind of response you get.
Okay, we'll do that.
But most people say, oh, no, I have my own thing. I said, okay, well, the default position on all new routers is you have both frequencies and they're both turned on.
See. Okay.
Interesting stuff. So again, one more thing. So here again, if we're going to go to sleep, our intention is to repair, rebuild, and restore for the day coming up. We don't want to have much in the way of non-native EMF. You certainly don't want to have a Wi-Fi router in your bedroom. Or anything that emits wireless energy, if you can, and your phone does. So keeping these things as far away from the bedroom is really important because, again, all this non-native EMF does compromise mitochondria and the repair process.
Tell me.
And that was the work of Robert Becker.
Robert O. Becker with what was his name of his book?
Body Electric.
Body Electric. Okay. Fantastic book. I have it here.
And when he went on, he was on 60 Minutes in 1977, and he blew the whistle on the upcoming wireless world that was just starting to emerge. That's when they defunded him.
He defunded him. Wow.
Yeah, he was one of the first canceled scientists from that because he was doing work on bone regeneration. And he was at the VA in New York somewhere doing all that research. He was funded by Pentagon and DARPA and all those people. But once he started talking about the downside to it, they pulled the funding.
I see. Maybe some of his technology is what's gone into these med beds.
Well, perhaps. I mean, he goes into great detail, but the whole thing about how you regenerate tissue in the body comes down to very, very low amperage DC currents, and that's what stimulates the body to do the repair. When you have a lot of confusing electromagnetic signals coming into our bodies, which we all do now, then how do you get that current down that low to do the repair?
Yeah. Low current for repair, DC current.
DC current. Yep.
That's why they surrounded us in AC
In
current.
AC current.
Yeah. Rather than the guy with the DC current was, oh, who was that with the DC current?
Was Edison?
Edison. They put us with Tesla's AC current. Yeah.
So here we have all this, pollution in our homes, electromagnetic pollution. So, again, there's things you can do in the obvious ones without getting into anything that terribly, terribly complicated. But as you've already done, is hardwire everything you can hardwire in your home. Try to stay away from the convenience of the wireless printer and the wireless this and the wireless television.
Right.
Hardwire.
Hardware, everything. Yep. On another topic yet related, we want to keep our mitochondria strong, right?
Right.
So that's why we don't have any blue light on around us. We try to keep it off, right? And we also keep the lighting off in our bedroom when we sleep at night, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
I understand that methane blue helps to build the mitochondria in the cell. Is that, are you familiar with that? Methylene.
Methylene blue, yes. It's an interesting, very old compound developed back in the 18, I don't know, 80 something perhaps, but it's got a lot of uses. It's got medical and health uses, but methylene blue is an electron donor.
It
And
was invented in Prussia. In
is that
Prussia,
right?
yes. And it's the dye for the deep blue Prussian uniforms. And it was a manufacturing dye for years. And then it was found out that this works, helps for the mitochondria. So methylene blue has been a suppressed alternative therapy until recently. And now you can order methylene blue in dropper bottles and use it every
Yes.
day.
Yeah. But you have to know what you're doing. Like anything, people get a little bit overly exuberant and they go out and don't read about how much to start with and any contraindications. But, methylene blue is an electron donor. And as you and I have talked before, mitochondria basically function by moving electrons through their structure. And so health, part of the health process is trying to attract more electrons to us, whether it's from the sun, whether it's from grounding, whether it's from fresh quality, just picked produce. We all need electrons to make the energy, and methylene blue is an electron donor.
And I would
Most
think that
things
would contribute to alkalinity rather than acidity, because acidity is low electrons and alkalinity is a high electron circulation. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, acidity would be high proton content.
High proton.
Right. The proton is what, let's say you're looking at hydrochloric acid, the proton is what makes it acid.
Oh, yes, that's the positive.
That's the positive,
And the
right?
electron is the negative.
Right.
So the negative is good for us.
We need more of the negative. That's why, ideal condition, if you were to go and sit at the beach, your feet are in the wet sand, you're getting all the electrons from the ocean, and you're sitting in the sun, you're getting electrons from the sun into your mitochondria, and all of the red and infrared wavelengths from the sun, which stimulate the mitochondria to function better. Now, interestingly enough, most of the melatonin, people think about melatonin for sleep, which is important, but most of the melatonin in our body is not made in our brain.
Really? Is it
It's
made in
made
the gut?
throughout the body in the mitochondria locally.
I see. Made throughout the body in the mitochondria locally. So you have to have healthy mitochondria. So
There's no way around it.
any real health regime should center around cellular health and particularly mitochondrial health. Do you agree with that?
I would agree. I mean, that's what the research suggests. I go back to Doug Wallace, who's probably the preeminent mitochondrial research lab in the world. He's at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, and he's the one who did all the research showing mitochondria are different DNA than the rest of your cell, and all of this fascinating research. But yeah, they've shown this over and over again that the four complexes within the mitochondria that move this electron that we need are stimulated by red and infrared wavelengths.
So that really, people should also have an infrared machine, what, 8 to 10 microns, something like that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it depends, I think, on their latitude, probably. The issue with that for some people is you have to still, even if you have the light, you don't want to use the red light at night when your body wouldn't see red light.
Yeah, so you would use it during the day.
You have to still use it with the circadian rhythm involved. And ideally, if you could get outside and get the light, you'd get all the wavelengths of the red spectrum, not just a few that are in the light. Especially if they're LED red lights, which are very popular, but there you've got one or two frequencies that are picked by the designer, and you're still missing hundreds of others. So that's where, if you're going to use an indoor red infrared light, I would suggest getting a good incandescent bulb, like the old heat lamps, which have all the frequencies. You know the chick brooder lamps that they use to
Yes,
keep chicks warm?
to hatch the chicks out.
Yeah, that's an infrared red light.
Infrared red light. Okay.
And they and
What
that'll
is
and
the
that'll provide more and more and better light than an LED.
What was the name of that bulb you mentioned? Incandescent?
Incandescent, yeah.
So the incandescent is a better light bulb than a LED.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to look at this, just go online with your favorite search engine and type in light spectrum LED lamp, light spectrum sunlight. And you'll see under the charts and so forth where they've actually mapped out the color spectrum that is emitted from LED lighting versus fluorescent lighting versus sunshine versus incandescent bulbs.
So
It's amazing.
is that why they took the incandescent bulbs off the market? You can't buy an incandescent bulb anymore, to my knowledge.
The cover story was they were inefficient, energy inefficiency, which was the heat, which is the infrared. I mean, your infrared is heat. So the most of the spectrum output of the incandescent bulb, that's why you'd burn your fingers if you tried to take the bulb out if it's been on for a while, because that's the heat, that's the infrared.
I see.
And the LED bulbs, you can take them out when they've been on because they don't have any infrared. It's all been shuttled into the blue frequency, which is the most damaging portion. So if you want to really mess up your mitochondria and your circadian pattern and your whole hormonal system, just put some very blue LED lights in your home and see how that works for you. You'll have more problems than you can count.
I like how you said that. See how that works for as you're struggling to survive.
You'll have lots of pill bottles by your table for the aches and the pains and the visual problems and the headaches and the poor sleep and all these things that are going to come out of that. And you won't tie it back to your lighting is sabotaging your body.
That's just huge. That's huge. Huge.
So everything we just talked about is basically a non-cost behavior,
Of course.
right?
So
I
what
mean,
should
maybe you
do?
have to buy a cable for your printer to wire it if it's wireless, but I mean, these are not big investments to
It's
do.
$20. Yeah,
Yeah.
I just got one for my son. I said, "You're hardwiring this. You're not going to have this stupid what is it? AI. Stupid what do they call it, Jeff? What's it called again?
What the wireless
Wireless.
portion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have wireless. You know, is because copier was going off line because it was wireless and had to get reset. I said, "Okay, that's it. Going down to Staples and getting a little cable for you, and we're going to hook that up. You're never going to have it again." I think another thing we got to start doing is we got to start taking the initiative to solve our problems. When you
I
see
agree.
a problem, take the initiative and deal with it right now. And so it's not lingering. Otherwise, we have a tendency to procrastinate.
Well, we do, and it's confusing because, again, finding this information in one place, one location, is not that easy. It's spread all over the place. It's obscured by a lot of confusing and contradictory information for sure. So a lot of people are not going to spend 10, 15, 20 hours trying to dog this down, especially if they don't know it's that important to do.
Because they're exhausted. They're exhausted
Right.
from working all day or whatever else they have, what other stresses on them. So all they can do is eat, talk a little bit, watch the TV, and go to bed. And nothing more of any change in the lifestyle happens, no learning of anything. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And one of the worst behaviors and habits, and many Americans are guilty, is to watch television in the hours before bed. Not that, I mean, we're not even talking about content, we're talking about light frequency, flicker rate, blue light coming out of that screen.
Right. That's exactly right. Another
So there.
rule is not a TV on after 10. Turn it off, you're done. Shouldn't be eating really after 7, 6 or 7. Let that start to digest and get going. So by the time you're laying down in bed, you don't have a full stomach that has to digest.
Right. Yeah, and digesting food, as is thinking, are very energy expensive, energy demanding processes. So that's why most people, if they have been up for 20 some hours and they're really overtired and a lot of emotional stress, they don't digest very well because they don't have the energy to actually do the digestion.
Yes. So now we have fermentation.
Right.
And now it gets to lay there in the small intestine or the large intestine. And then it starts to bloat. And then we have all sorts of problems. Yeah. And I'll be going backwards. You just had to play that one last video game, or we had to watch that one last movie and stay up till 11:30. Yeah. Makes sense.
All the things that we think are important, and I think in large sense in our culture, is we've been conditioned to think that way.
Yes.
We don't have to, but we think it's our choice to stay up extra late and watch the movie, which has no positive impact in our life. And who cares what the who the villain is, what the good guy is? You can watch the rest of it tomorrow.
That's right. That's exactly
But
right.
we do it because we have a perception that's been kind of conditioned into us that we have to do it or have to see the end or
Right.
whatever else.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Just a matter of living consciously or living unconsciously.
Whether thinking or not thinking.
Thinking or not, exactly. I mean, some people are wide awake, but they're not conscious.
Right. And being conscious enough to make your own decisions.
Right.
That's a revelation that we need to dwell on a little bit, because most decisions are made for us and we just follow along. It's time to eat. I think that phrase, "it's time to eat," is one of the biggest abominations of I mean, time to eat. It's
If you
time
say
to
it
eat.
over and over 3 or 4 times, it sounds silly.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's like dog food. That's another silly term, dog food. Yeah, instead of raw meat or something like that, we just say dog food. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, brother, have you reached all your high points, or are there some more we need to touch on?
No, I think if people listening can begin to apply some of these things, I think there's enough here that you can really make a difference. I mean, substantially make a difference. It may take, depending upon how many of these things you're in violation of, may take 2, 3 months to actually see a change, but you'll see a shift.
Takes a
Give your
little while,
body
sure.
time. It's again, it's almost like going through jet lag.
Yeah. Takes a little time.
It's very powerful, though.
One more thing about sleep. If you are consciously upset about something, can't sleep. I remember I was in Israel many years ago and I was thinking about moving there. And my wife was pregnant with Jordan. And I had no sleep for 2 weeks. And when I decided that I'm not moving here, I'm staying in the US and Pennsylvania, then I could go to sleep. So there was something inordinately wrong in that thinking that I had to change before I could sleep. So the listener needs to know there might be some thought process that's depriving them of sleep. And they need to be very analytical about that and searching. And am I thinking about something or anticipating something or edge about something that's causing me lack of sleep? So that.
Well, I think that's an excellent point. We have to be a little bit protective of that time, hour or two before sleep, because that's what sets us up to have good sleep or poor sleep. So we don't want to have an intense political argument or some issue and then expect that we're going to go to sleep and turn off our minds like we turn off the light.
Yeah, no, it's not happening.
Doesn't happen. Everybody who tries that, no, it doesn't work.
Think I've experienced that once or twice now, brother.
Yeah, I know I have.
Okay, so if you want to give us a summation, we'll go ahead and then give your contact info and finish up.
Sure, we talked about a number of things, simple to more complicated, basic things like warm feet, cool head, dark bedroom, no LED clocks, lights, night lights in the bedroom at night, so you get total darkness. And we talked about how caffeine works by blocking the adenosine receptor. So you think you have energy when all you're doing is not sensing your body's fatigue. We mentioned that the most restorative sleep is the sleep prior to midnight, hour for hour, you get more benefit. And then we talked about making sure that the bedroom environment is as free as we can do it with regard to non-native EMF, routers, Wi-Fi, cell phones, alarm clocks. We want to have all that as far away as we can so that our bodies can actually do the repair work while we're sleeping.
All right, well, Dr. Jeff Sullender, thanks so much for being with us today on this beautiful Tuesday, April the 8th, 2025. Thank you for this topic of sleep and how light affects it for good or for bad. And do you have contact info that the listeners can get in touch with you?
Yeah, best way to reach me is by email. That'd be very simply info, I-N-F-O, info at Center for Nutrition, one word, centerfornutrition.net.
Very good. Okay, and concluding this broadcast, all these broadcasts from 24/7 World Radio with the intent that people would truly repent, believe the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And upon believing that gospel, accepting that offer of contract, the Lord will save you, forgive you your sins, give you eternal life, and dwell with him forever in heaven. And so that's what we want. Your most valuable possession is your soul anyway. And your soul has to work through this physical body, which we give a little advice here just previously on how to use it a little bit. So, but your most important asset is your soul. And so my question is to you, my friend, are you saved? Has the Lord saved you and your soul is safe? Because that's your most important destiny of all. So until we meet again, may the Lord bless you as you do his will according to his word. The AB 1611 Reformation English Bible. Can donate here at Cash App to my Cash App at cash tag Eric John Phelps, ericjonphelps, or you can give to RBPB donate at comcast.net, or you can send a check to RBT, PO Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania 17073. So until the next time we meet, Lord bless as you read the AV 1611 Reformation Bible in its present edition of 1769. Till next time, Maranatha. Lord bless. Thanks a lot, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay.